And his disciples remembered that it is written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten him up. I believe this is the second time. This is the final week of Jesus before his crucifixion, before his death. And I believe he's emphasizing this. And it is because they were abusing what the Lord had established his house for. Now, there was one house. It was the temple. Synagogues you won't find authorized in the scriptures, but Jesus seems to be more than okay with it. It's not a bad idea to gather together, to worship the Lord, read the word, and to meditate on it and learn from it. And so he preached, he spoke in the synagogues often. But they would come to worship the Lord. The men had to come back for three particular feasts, the Passover being one of them, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so here they are, they're coming back. So what was the error? Here's what they were doing. So there were several things. One, the money changers. And so they were coming from all over the world. All the Jewish males were required to come back to Jerusalem. And so if you come back from different places in the world, you're going to have different currency. And so it was required in the Levitical law that each male, when he'd come back, had to give a half shekel for support of the temple. And so they would have to exchange that so they would be able to give a half shekel. And so then the money changers, and they would make money on the exchange. Then they were required to bring two doves, two pigeons, and others would have lambs and cattle for the sacrifices, and they ended up selling them, but you were to bring your own. That was very specific. And what they found is, it's so convenient, it'd be so difficult, so inconvenient for you to have to bring this on your own. God didn't worry about inconvenience. He's worthy. And so they would sell you the animals, and they would sell them at vast profits, and they had made God's house a house of merchandise. But let's just try to understand this morning. I want you to understand, why do we gather together? I hear it all the time. People say, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven. Well, that's true. That's true. But why don't you want to go to church with people that are going to heaven? You know, it's like, you don't have to. I'm not preaching that. But God establishing his kind of assembly is one of the greatest blessings that he could ever do for us. Now, I'll grant you this. I wouldn't have come up with this idea to get a bunch of people that, yes, I do love this. You'll make me hesitant now. Sinners saved by grace, right? But we are more than that. We are conquerors in Christ. We have been made new. But you know this. The longer you spend with me, the less you'll like me. And vice versa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. How many of you never get on anybody's nerves? Raise your hand. Oh, look at that. Look at that. And so we just found six people that are delusional this morning. And so that at least admitted it, right? And so, but God's plan is this, that we get together, eyeball to eyeball, elbow to elbow. And why do we do it? We're live streaming the service this morning, and I'm thankful for people that can't be here or need to watch it later, want to watch it later. That's great. What I love that COVID did teach us, and I wasn't sure what COVID would do, but it isn't the same. Jesus didn't say he'll be in the live stream. He said, where two or three are gathered, I believe those are commands to his churches, where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst of them also. And I will tell you, the presence of the Lord is here this morning. It has nothing to do because of his delight and approval of me. It's because he is a God of promise. And when he says he will be there, where two or three are gathered in his name, and what he wanted to be an encouragement. He goes, look, I want to reach Fairfield. I want to reach people for Jesus Christ. But he said, don't worry about the numbers. I'll be there. It's that big a deal. And so I want you to understand this. It is, it's a big deal, right? The church, listen to this in Ephesians 3:21. It says, unto him, unto Jesus Christ, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. The Lord established his church for his glory. We should look forward to it. David said in Psalm 122:1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. How many of you are not morning people? You know what, though? I want to tell you this. Sunday school at 10 o'clock is not stress in your morning. I mean, you know, it's like, God, you know, I just struggle. It's like, I don't think 10 o'clock is. Now, 6 a.m., I'm telling you this. When we pray on Tuesdays, I'm telling you, how many of you guys just love 6 a.m. prayer? I love it, but how many of you love getting up? I don't either. I'm glad when I've come here, So that's why we're moving it to 10, because 10 isn't that big a deal. But I want you to just examine your heart this morning. Were you glad when your parents came in? Time to get up! I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. When your alarm goes off, are you glad? You know, and it's commanded. I want us to be driven by love, not commands, but Jesus said that we should not be forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But we should exhort one another, encourage one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. As the coming of the Lord is closer, we should gather more. We need more encouragement. But I want to show you just in this scripture here, I want to just look at what should be done at the house of the Lord. The first thing I want you to see is it needs to be a place of prayer. I mean, Jesus was clear. Look back at Matthew chapter 21, Matthew 21 verse 12. And Jesus went to the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Now, let me just be clear before you think, some of you think, oh, he's a heretic. A church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the people. Okay? I do believe there is something about when God gives you a location, you can call it the house of God. But the church, the assembly, is a group of people that covenant together to serve the Lord. They are a complete, independent, functioning body of Christ. And then our job is the Great Commission. The job of Hope Baptist Church is to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Our Jerusalem is Fairfield. Our Judea would be the extending communities and even the state of Ohio, and then the uttermost parts of the world. Hope Baptist Church. There was only one church when he gave the Great Commission. That was the church at Jerusalem. We need to take ownership for that. So, but I also believe there is something about, there was a location, there was a temple, and he called it the house of God. He actually refers to it as the house of God, and I think he also refers to the assembly as the house of God, where he abides specially. But I also want you to understand that what should we do when we assemble together? And I don't think you have to have four walls, but we do have a place that we can worship. So what should be happening here? This ought to be a place of prayer. I want to remind you, what should be the focus of prayer? I won't take you back to Matthew 6, but remember, we've talked about this before. You know, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come, in earth as it is in heaven. We're not even mentioned yet, right? So it's all about God, our Father. It's we need to remember he's in heaven. We need to remember that it's his name needs to be lifted up. His name needs to be glorified. His name needs to be hallowed. And it's about his kingdom, not mine. It's about his will, not mine. And then we get into one request. We are so dominated, and I get it, I am too. We are dominated with what we need. The only thing that the scripture talks about in terms of the temporal, in terms of the physical, give us this day our daily bread. And none of us in this room even can relate to that. Right? None of us can. I mean, it's like you get a Costco membership. I've talked about it before, right? It's like, you know, even when it's, our kids today are less impressed when it's, you know, five loaves and two small fish, because they've seen the loaves at Costco and they're like, well, you know, maybe that could feed 4,000. You know, it's like, no, these loaves are about this big, right? Five loaves, they're that big. And they're like, what? And so but I want you to understand this. Give us this day our daily bread. And then it goes into the spiritual. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then we go back, for thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. I want you to know this. It needs to be a house of prayer. I beg you. I've got to do better. The whole basis of Hope Cares, is praying. And how many of you, I'm just going to be honest, I am struggling really just, the list has gotten so big. Are you struggling? I'm struggling. How many of you say I'm struggling? I'm struggling. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to come up with something, because I want us to be faithful. I want us to literally cover this list. It may be something like this. You give me some ideas, okay? So I don't want us just to neglect it, right? So what happens with me, man, page one, I'm on it. And page two, hanging in there, man. Page three, I'm distracted. So what I want to do is maybe divide our church into, you know, if your name is in the alphabet here, you'll do pages one and two. Your name's here, three and four. I want us to be faithful. I want us to be faithful. I'm telling you this. I'm convinced that prayer needs to be the centerpiece of everything we do. Y'all got a text yesterday. If you didn't get a text, you need to give me your number. And so I will bug you to death about praying for Vacation Bible School. 30 days from yesterday, Vacation Bible School starts. I want us to pray for these children. I want us to be prepared to love these children. I want God to bless in a great way. And I've told our teachers, I don't want one child to leave any night without them understanding what the gospel is. I want every child that comes to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think it'll be good for our regulars too, for our front row scholars. I want them, you know, so I wouldn't want them to panic if I looked and I said, Isabella, what is the gospel? And I want her to, boom. I want her to joyfully, gloriously declare the gospel. And what Isabella could say would be enough for someone to be born again, to be saved, to have their sins removed. I want all of our children to understand it, not in a cold, clammy way, but I want you to pray for Vacation Bible School. I want you to understand this. This church needs to be a church of prayer. You've got to help me with that. I told you, one of my friends, when I surrendered to be a pastor, he told me, I tell you this all the time, he said, you know what your problem's going to be? I mean, this is a guy, I was like, huh, no, well, I could guess, there's the millions. And he said, prayer. I'd rather do than pray. The best thing I've ever started here at Hope Baptist Church, I'm convinced, is men's prayer on Tuesday morning. I haven't started very great things, right? But it's I hate getting up, but I'm sure glad when I come. Would you help me pray? Would you help me be faithful? Would you help us seek the face of God? I know this. I want you to pour your heart out with people that we don't know as though they were your only child. I'm telling you, God will hear us. God will listen to us. We have it on the authority of Jesus. He wants his church, his house, to be a house of prayer. I do love this. Look, I'm telling you this. You may call me nuts. When I have issues, I come here and I walk through the, I make sure that live stream thing's off. Because I feel like you guys are spying. I mean, sometimes I'm in here, you know, and I turn it off. And I don't know, but I spend some time with the Lord in here. Don't have to. You know what? You're a member, you can have a key. Come. Don't worship the place. Get alone with God. This ought to be a place where we know we'll be prayed for, where we know we'll pray. Will you pray? Will you pray? The Lord said this. What should be done at the house of God? It should be prayer. It should be a focus. It should be an emphasis. Second thing I want you to see is I want you to see a place of healing. Look at verse 14. And I know here it's talking about physical healing. And at this spot, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Now, we could have a great study. We're not going to do that this morning. I believe that once God's given us his completed word, I believe in healing. I believe in supernatural intervention. God does care for our physical needs. God does intervene, and I know of grand and great stories. But that is not the emphasis of his church. But it is healing spiritually. This ought to be like a hospital. You ought to, I want us to be, and I mean, Stephen Tillery's not here today because he's in excruciating pain. But if you're not either incredibly infectious or in incredible pain, it is, I would come. That, again, sometimes you can't. I get it. And so when he says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves, he's like with an attitude, right? There's times you can't be here. But I want to tell you this. This ought to be a place of healing. Come when you are at your lowest moment, when you are at your weakest moment, when you think you've just dishonored God for the final time, you ought to come and just seek the Lord and say, Lord, I know this is a place that you've established, and you've established it for healing. And I know this, that where two or three are gathered here, the Lord Jesus Christ will be here. And seek the spiritual healing of the Lord. Our greatest need is spiritual. Every one of us in this room, we're going to die. Every single one of us, right? I tell my girls all the time, if you're in the, you know, medical profession, every person that you deal with, it's like, you know, I mean, that's why I'm not a doctor. I'd say, you know, you're going to die. Let's see if we can delay that a little bit. But I would want to go, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? I would probably only have Christians that would be with me, because people are like, I just can't believe that, doctor. But that's our reality, right? I mean, people go for physical healing, but the reality is their greatest need is spiritual. My greatest need is spiritual. Isn't your greatest need spiritual? And I believe the Lord established his churches so that we could be helped. We could have some spiritual healing. Now, don't just look for that on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You need to be in the Word of God. You need fellowship. You need to serve the Lord. But I will tell you this. It's a place of healing. It ought to be a place of healing. It ought to be a place where you get help. It ought to be a place where you're encouraged. Now, I want you to understand this. It's full of people that on the wrong day can be absolute jerks. But on the wrong day, so can you. We ought to love one another, care for one another, be forgiving to one another, but it ought to be a place of healing. Place of prayer, place of healing. I want you to see this, verse 15. These are the enemies. These are the enemies. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were sore displeased. God's house ought to be a place where wonderful things happen. And it is a place where wonderful things happen. People are saved. People can follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. Baptism doesn't get you to heaven, but it's a glorious step of obedience. People are reconciled with God. People are encouraged. People are reminded about the glories of God. Truth is revealed. The light is shined upon our sin. Remember this. Listen to John chapter 3, for verse 20. John chapter 3, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light." He said, they don't come to the light, neither do they come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Lost people are like roaches. The light comes on, they scatter. Oh, believer, you ought to be like, "Search me, oh God, try me and see if there be any wicked way in me." Because if we're thinking right, we realize this, sin is what will destroy us. You know what the most wonderful thing could be? That we get our sin issue taken care of this morning. That would be wonderful. Some of you that are lost, you would see that you've never truly, really committed or surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Why wait? You can have your sins removed upon faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He does the changing. Some of you, you think, "I can't ever have victory over this sin." Then you disagree with the Bible. We can. Don't stop fighting. Don't stop trying. Don't give up. God will help you. This is a place where wonderful things can happen. And so I want you to understand it's a wonderful thing. And so listen to this, verse 21. "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." We want to see it. I'm telling you this because there's a lot of sin I'm not aware of. The sin that I'm aware of is the things I struggle with all the time. But when God shines the light on me, you know, it's like, you know why I love this carpet? You have no idea. Now, we do clean it once every millennia. No, we do. We clean it twice a year, but that's still not enough, right? But don't bring a black light, right? You wouldn't be sitting where you're sitting. I have no idea. I think it's the dirtiest seat. No, I don't. I'm just kidding. But it'll show. You're like, whoa, right? It's when God shines His light on us, we realize how good He's been to us, how merciful He's been to us. Because you know what? My life is not good because I've been good. My life's good because God is good. See, we've got to be reminded of that all the time. Right? I want you to understand this. I will tell you, I mean, when Thomas missed that first church service after the resurrection, he missed some wonderful things, did he not? He missed the Lord Jesus Christ showing up. I'm telling you, wonderful things happen, and it could just be that God speaks to your heart unmistakably. I'm not talking audibly. And I'll tell you what, if He does eternal things in your heart, that's a wonderful thing. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. That you could go back and say, "I remember when I was 15 years old, God spoke to my heart. I remember where I was sitting, and I remember this. It was the goodness of God that He spoke to my heart, and I'm glad I went to church that morning, because before I woke up that morning, I didn't want to go to church." And so God's house is a place of prayer. It's a place of healing. It's a place where God does wonderful things. I love this. It's a place to worship and praise the one true God. Remember this. It says in John 4, as he's speaking to the woman at the well, we will worship Him in spirit. It's a spiritual worship, but we worship Him in truth. Understand this. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. Remember worship? It's declaring the worth of the only one that's worthwhile. It is a dilemma for me. And so please, please, I'm pro-America. So some people accuse me. I struggle with, here's my struggle. Just so you know. It's, and I love the independence of churches, so I'm not criticizing churches, okay? I'm really not. It'll sound like it, but I'm not. People say, oh, yes, you are. It is this. I don't do a good enough job as a pastor declaring how great Christ is, declaring how wonderful Christ is. Steve, I'm not wonderful enough to where I remember as a fourth grader, right? I mean, 1976, right? It was the bicentennial. It was back-to-back World Series championships for the Reds, like that mattered, but it did matter to me as a 10-year-old, right? And so I remember the song to this day, right? We were marching around the gym. This is a great country. So let's shout it out, you know. But what does that get me? I tell you, I want us to march around and sing, we have a great Savior. So let's shout it out. I want the world to know, not about the, and I'm not, you understand, do you understand my dilemma? I want to glorify, lift up, worship, and praise one. The only one that's worthy. It's not the pastor, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, nothing has meaning. Without him, life could not be sustained. I want you to understand, it is, and I want you to do this, I want you just to come and say, wow, okay, I'm excited, I get to worship the Lord. Guy told me recently, he came up to me and he said, you don't like that I wear a suit and tie. You don't have to wear a suit and tie. I think all of you came dressed respectfully for the Lord. Right? I do. So zero issues. You understand that? I dress up in the pulpit because it's just a personal conviction that I'm going to represent the Lord, and I'm going to, if they can dress up for ESPN, then I think, you know, I think I can too. Right? And so he said, you shouldn't wear a suit and tie. Okay. He said, you need to dress for the lost. I said, what do you mean, man? So he said, you know, you need to dress for the lost. And I normally don't respond to those things. And I turned and said, I absolutely disagree with you. Church services are for the sheep. Now, I know we have lost people in our midst today. I want you to know we love having you here. But the best thing we can do for you, if you'll let us have a Bible study, we'll show you, we'll teach you, we'll walk you through the Bible so you'll see the truths of the Bible. This is very difficult. I ask people all the time, when's the last time you went to microbiology week number 7 and just dropped in just for some info? Right? Never. That's what it's like for somebody just dropping into church one week. You understand that challenge? Now, I pray that God's big enough, and he is big enough, he can minister to their soul. But I want you to know this. It's, you come to worship the King. My mom, she's not here this morning, so I can say this. So it's this. She told me years ago, church she used to go to, she said, so I'm going to get in time trouble. Do not tell her. She said, you know what I love about our church? She told me this. She said, on Wednesday night, and this is okay. She said, on Wednesday night, I can wear sweatpants and a t-shirt and go to church. And I said, Mom, I'm going to die before you. I said, God has revealed that to me. And I said, and when I die, you must wear sweatpants and a t-shirt to my funeral. And she says, What are you talking about? And I said, well, I wouldn't want you to honor some dead son more than you honor the living King. Now, my mom's used to me. She's, you know. She threw me out of the game, Andy. She said, you're out of here, right? And so it's so look, I promise you, that message was not to get you to dress differently. It wasn't. But I'm telling you, what mindset do you come to worship the King? He is worthy. And I'm telling you this, when you're tired, he's worthy. And I'm telling you, he's worthy, and it's a privilege that we have to worship him. It's a privilege that we have to sing about him. And we must remind ourselves about this. I have to do it every Monday night, every Tuesday morning with prayer. It's a privilege for me to gather with men to pray, and I'm always glad, but my flesh says, not this week. You know, the reason I almost have perfect attendance, because I'm the stinking pastor. And I'm thinking, if the pastor doesn't go, that's not good. But you guys are faithful. I trust it's because you love the Lord. I know it's like some days you're like, oh. But he's worthy. He's worthy. Did you come to worship him this morning? I want you to be excited about worshiping him. And then the final thing I want to show you, it's a place to be taught. A place to be taught. It is Jesus. He just didn't throw over the tables and kick them all out, the money changers and those that were selling the doves and the oxen. He was teaching at the same time. And so I want you to know this. This cannot be the sole existence of your learning and teaching in God's Word. But it is, it's what one of the purposes is, that you would be confronted with the whole counsel of God. And I know this. I love your endurance on Wednesday night. We're going through Ezekiel. Ezekiel 28, and I'm telling you this, you'll want to be here this Wednesday. Ezekiel 28, it's going to be interesting. You pray for me. But it's the Bible's good. Jesus was teaching them, right? He was teaching them, and he said, let me just tell you this. He said this, we've seen it in the Old Testament scriptures, that he's not interested in your sacrifices. He's interested in a broken and a contrite spirit. And so we need to learn that. God's interested in our hearts being broken. I love the prayer request. It sort of came up in Sunday school again today, Clay, that says, oh, to be broken over my sin. I joke about sin sometimes. You know, we laugh about sin because it's so common, right? It ought not to be. I get it when we do because we're frustrated, but to be broken over our sin, right? God wanted them to be broken. It's so interesting. Jesus, he started his public ministry emptying the temple. And he's finishing his earthly ministry before the cross, and he empties the temple. He wanted them to understand how they worship God. Let me tell you, it's interesting. How will you worship him today? Here's the greatest thing that God would want you to do. Is in your heart. How will you respond? God's not just interested that you come, you sit, you hear, you sing. But how will you respond? Will you serve him? You see, I want you to know this. What I love about church services, for 30 minutes, you were reminded there's something more important than everything that got your attention this past week, right? I know this. That car wreck has dominated you, hasn't it? I know. It's just a sucking sound, and I know it's just, but, you know, just, don't fret. You're not a fretter, right? Until you had that car wreck, and now you become a fretter. Don't. Don't let life distract you and forget about what it's all about. I want you to be reminded about this. There's one that's worthy. That's Jesus. What are you going to do about it this week? Got to go to work? Maybe you don't have to tomorrow. Maybe it's, you know, I always loved those July 4th that happened. Maybe even a Wednesday would be better. Because then you can at least, you know, jumble one Monday and get a four-day weekend, right? And then, you know, I know this. I this is okay too. You're like, how cool, we're having an afternoon service. So I get more time off. So I thank the Lord. Just honor him. Honor him with your time off. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to only tell you this. You should be unimpressed when I tell you this, but I'm just going to tell you this. Deb's been getting on my nerves lately. So I probably shouldn't tell this publicly, right? And it's like... And you know, when she's getting on my nerves, I give her more reasons to get on my nerves, because you know that crazy cycle, right? And just, you know, it just wasn't good. And so we've got more to do, but let me just say we've done two things. And we still got to be more disciplined. Deb, I have a Bible study with my wife now every week. We're in Ephesians 5. We just covered one verse last week. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. No, we didn't. And we're going to pray together every night. And you know what? It's awkward at first. It is. It's like, in Deb's physical touch, right? So when we pray, she's like sitting on me almost. It's like, hey, you know. So, you know, when we are dating, it's like, you're not close enough, you know. But 35 years, it's like, honey, I'm flitting. It's like, but I want to tell you, I bring this up because I could be negative about her and she'd get on my nerves. And by God's grace, I trust that we're committed to staying married. But that's not the goal. We died married, hating the guts of each other, right? I want to delight in her. I want to love her. I want to look at her as one of the great blessings that God's given me. And you know the only thing that's going to change that? If I do something different. And God convicted my own heart. If I don't respond to Him and do something different, then my marriage won't get better. It'll get worse. You see, there's no such thing as neutral. I ask you that about the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you going to do when God moves on your heart? Because I know this is your dilemma. You're faithful. You come to church. But nothing's different than last Sunday. It's probably because you didn't do anything different. You need to respond to Him. Ladies, get with other ladies and they'll help you. Men, we'll help each other. You don't have to confess your sins to me. You don't. But I know this. There's not one man in here that doesn't need help. There's not one couple in here that doesn't need marital help. We need it. I'm going to seek the Lord's face. And now Deb's gotten some videos coming in too, right? That's a new one. How to cherish each other. Cherish, right? And I'm going to watch them with delight. You know why? I want my motivation to be because I love you, but I know this. I've already seen God just in 1 week. He's helping me. See, I'm not declaring my goodness. I'm just telling you this. I'm declaring the goodness of the Lord. It's as simple as this. If you want your life to change, get in the Word of God. I knew I needed to get in the Word of God with my wife. We just need to study it, talk about it, dwell on it, and then we need to pray together. I need to see my wife as a delight. I need to think about her in a good way, and you need to do the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the house of God, it's a place of prayer, place of healing, primarily spiritual. It's a place where God does wonderful things. It's a place to worship the one true God, and it's a place to be taught. But if it goes in one ear and out the other, then it was for naught for you. How will we respond when God moves? Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your goodness. I pray that